I think we all know that the image of masculinity has changed over the years. But seriously, you telling me guys don't know what a cow looks like?
We always have an odd one in the crowd.
So it's kind of odd.
I decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, it doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, with stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's the Oddcast.
All right. Thank you, Max, very much. So this is going to be a little bit all over the place. I want to talk about the changing image of men. And I do not want to get really, really heavy with it because it just wears me out. I want to keep it light and yet still point out that times are changing. And I don't know if it's always in the most appealing way is the only way I can put it. I'll start off by talking about a recent interview I read with the great actor, British actor Michael Caine. He was in Alfie many years ago. He's been in so many comedies
Batman.
Over the years.
He's been in
Dark
everything.
Knight. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Prolific.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You would know all of the films that he's been in. Lamar.
Inception. Oh, I love Michael Caine
yeah.
in Inception.
Yeah, he's so charming, too. And so he just turned 90 years old, and he was interviewed about some movie that's coming out that he did. He said, yeah, I'm still working. You know, I don't do the romantic leads anymore, but I still am getting work. And the interviewer was saying, well, how has Hollywood changed over the years? And he said, well, there are some things that are just very curious, and there are others that are disturbing. He said, I've done many love scenes in movies. And here's what we would do. Obviously, I knew the actress. They would show us where the setup was, on a couch, in a car, in a bed, wherever it may be. We would be told by the director, this is what is expected, and we get on with it, and we do it, and that's the end of it. Now, of course, they have intimacy coaches who are within a few feet of whatever is going on in bed. And they're just watching, making sure that the actor, because it's usually a man, is not doing anything in the scene that is inappropriate or that would make the woman feel uncomfortable. And I guess it could go the other way, too. It could go the other way, too. If Lamar and I were in a romantic scene, God knows what these women would be trying with us, Lamar. Am I right? I mean, I would need our coach.
Speaking as a woman, can I really be trusted in that environment?
Yeah. There you go. So, He was just saying, I understand, but it just seems like it was never a problem with me. I never had anybody complain about me like that. It just seems odd. And then he said something that jumped out at me. He said, if I'm at a Hollywood party, if I'm on the set, if I'm in my own home and a woman comes in who I know, I can't say, it's good to see you, dear. How are you, dear? How's it going, dear? Which sounds very British, but I use that term. And I use it very sparingly. For instance, a very good friend of mine lives three doors down from me. We've known each other since we were teenagers. I've known his wife since we were in our 20s. And if they come over for dinner and I haven't seen her or him in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, I'll come in and everybody gives everybody a hug and I'll say, how are you, dear? He is worried about using the word dear in Hollywood.
Can I say, Bob, it's very different to use that word in a personal setting. When you refer to your friend's wife who you've known forever as dear, that's a very different thing than in a work setting. You can call me dear, Lamar can call me dear, but if a middle manager calls me dear, no bueno.
Right. I totally get it.
It's the context. Like, you are allowed to call Kathy dear. You're allowed to call me dear. You're allowed to call Heather dear because our relationships transcend the workplace. But don't you even think about using that in a professional setting. Is that difficult for you to accept?
Absolutely not. And that would never cross my mind. When we had everybody over at my house, almost everybody a couple of weeks ago for a meeting, I remember I said, Heather, it's so great to see you, dear, because I had not seen her face to face in weeks.
We're once family, I read that article, it's different.
Yeah. Once I read that article, I went, I wonder if that was inappropriate. So I'm glad to hear you include her in there.
Sometimes you'll say to me, I'm so glad you were able to get down here, my dear. Or sometimes you'll say to me, why are you such an evil bitch? And I always know it's meant with love because we're family.
Both ways. Of course it was.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more of the Oddcast. We are so excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. Well-marbled, juicy, and always fresh with loads of behind-the-scenes photos and videos, exclusive content, including our classic chat room calls and our best-of CDs. And best of all, it's just $4.99 a month. BobandSherry.com/premium.
We're talking about how men, their image has changed, and sometimes in subtle ways. We were just discussing whether or not you should use the term dear, which I've just used for years and years and years. I think as I got older, I don't think I would have used that term, and Max and Lamar jump in, I don't think I would have used that term dear if I were in my 20s.
And no, but I also have spent my entire adult working life with you, and I've never seen you speak to anyone that way that wasn't, you know, that you didn't have a close personal friendship or relationship with.
Right.
I never, right. Like when, you know, we were at the place that shall not be named, Mordor, there were always tons and tons and tons of much younger women cruising around in internships or whatever. And you were always absolutely 100% professional, respectful, and appropriate. So
that's not anything
you would do or would have ever done under any circumstances. You've always been super conscious of that.
I got a question for Max on this. Max, would you use the word deer is not in my lexicon. What about yours?
Not mine.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think it's just a different, I don't know. It's a, you know, now I refer
to Connecticut thing.
Yeah,
it might be a Connecticut thing. Yeah, I think you may be right, Sherry.
I refer to every female person that I talk to as ma'am. I just say ma'am. I say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. When I answer,
that's my husband. That's my
I
husband.
Say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. I mean, I don't care if you're 60 or if you're 16. I don't care what you are. I say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I just
that's see, a Southern that, thing.
Yeah, it's got to be a Southern thing, but do some women dislike that because, let's say, they're 30 years old and they still think of themselves, you know, that's not old. They still think of themselves as 22, and all of a sudden they get hit with a ma'am,
which
sounds matronly.
This has never happened to me, but when Jared was up in New York doing his rotations for medical school, he had to go to this office to talk to this person. And she, you know, she was being pretty gruff or whatever. And he says, well, thank you, ma'am. And she goes, what did you say? I said, thank you, ma'am. I'm not a ma'am. He said, I apologize. He said, where I come from, it's a sign of respect for anybody.
Yeah.
And I apologize.
Yeah.
But I've never had that happen to me. Yeah. Nobody's ever questioned that.
I've seen women jump on that before. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband, it is ma'am and sir. I mean, he'll like, you know, we'll be picking up the car from getting the tires rotated. He'll be like, thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's just a Southern mannerly thing.
It's just,
okay. I want to move along now to the second part of talking about changes with male image. I like the product Subaru. I've had one years ago and it was a terrific car, really terrific car. I hope it's true. They seem to be involved with environmental causes a little bit. And their ads were always respectful. They have carved Subaru. I read an article about this somewhere. Subaru has carved a niche for themselves. And it's kind of the sporty outdoor people. Now, whether or not the biggest sporty thing you're doing with your Subaru Outback is going over a speed bump at the parking lot, I don't know. But their commercials reflect a lot of outdoor living. And I like that. However, there's one that's running right now. And I kind of liked it until the end. And Sherry, we were talking about this earlier. Sherry knows the spot. So the spot, and probably many of you listening right now know the spot. The spot is a young woman, very outdoorsy looking woman, and a guy who evidently has recently become her boyfriend. At least that's the implication in the spot. And they are outdoor. They have taken their Subaru out back up into a rock climbing area. And the first shot, as I recall, is he is standing over this this drop off of a mountainside that's got to be 800 feet. And he says, that's a long way. And she says, yes, it is. And then the next shot, she is down below where they're going to go. And she is, if you've ever done any rock climbing, she's the anchor. And she's the one that's going to shout up to him to come down. And you shout up by saying, en bolé, which means I'm ready, I'm holding it. The chocks that hold the rope have been placed. You just need to lower yourself. I got you. And he goes, really? Now? And she says something like, you can see she's a little bit mildly exasperated with him. She says, anytime now. And then there's the next shot where they're on a cliff again and there's water down below. And she jumps right in, and he's very tentative, but he goes in. He wants to do the thing. So I'm okay with that right up till there. Mountain climbing is a scary thing, and it's not just for men, it's for women too. And he's never done it before. So it's kind of cute, and I sort of like it. And then it's the final shot, and they're back in the Subaru, and they're going through a western landscape that looks like the area between Grand Junction, Colorado, and Jackson Hole, Colorado. Very rural, the mountains, Wyoming. It's beautiful. And on the side of the road, as they approach, you see three cows. And the guy says, is that a buffalo? And she goes, that's a cow. So it goes just like this. Is that a buffalo? Pause. That's a cow. So she's patting him on the head a little bit. I'm even sort of okay with that, except if you don't know what a fucking cow looks like, you are so stupid.
She should slam on the brakes and put him out. Here's the thing.
It's too much. You can't do that to us as men. We know what a buffalo looks like. You got a nickel?
I'm so with you. It would have been different if he would have said, look at the deer. And she would have said, that's an elk. Because right. I have found that a lot of your city folk don't know the difference between an elk, a deer, and a caribou. So the first time I saw that commercial, I was like, sis, I'm okay with the fact that he's never like put on sneakers and left the house. But right. He's never played Old MacDonald Had a Farm. E-I-E-I-O.
With a moo moo here and a moo moo there.
I mean, come on. I know, you know, if it was an elk as opposed to a deer, okay. But that's not as funny. I will admit, I'll give this to the copywriters. I will admit, this dumb shit, not knowing a buffalo from a cow, is a funnier line, but it is also really a symptom of, you know, a little bit of disrespect for the male gender.
Have you not watched commercials? There's no such thing as a smart guy in a commercial.
Competent man.
It's like right. this, the one of the fast food things that had that without us, men would not survive. And it shows a guy getting out of bed. He can't even make a pot of coffee. He can't survive without just certain convenience. Without just certain fast food store. I'm like, you're making us look like idiots.
And I know this, you know, let me get out in front of this for any feminist who's listening. I know this is an answer to a, from Millennium, males being placed in situations.
Systemic misogyny and sexual oppression. But here's the thing.
Correct, especially in advertising. I mean, we've made fun of those ads out of the 1950s where a woman is a rug and he's got his foot on her head or something like that. That's horrifying.
But, you know, there are a lot of commercials, too. Like, there's one that I really love because the little girl in it is adorable. She's with her dad, and she's gotten all dirty, and she's messed up her favorite superhero outfit.
Yep.
He takes the clothes, he washes it with the Tide, and the last shot is her, you know, with the wind blowing her cape back, holding her fist out like she's Superman. I mean, there's a brother who can get some stains out of something, okay? Like, that's a competent, loving, hands-on dad. So it's weird because on the one hand, Madison Avenue is giving us, here's a competent, loving, hands-on dad that knows how to get chocolate stains out of a T-shirt.
Right.
Here's a guy that doesn't know what a cow is. Like, it's so extreme.
I know. I agree with Lamar that more and more you see guys, not only in commercials, but in some TV shows, that can they even go to the bathroom by themselves? You know?
Listen, I'm a woman, and I find that, like, it... Because what it ends up doing, the Subaru commercial is a great example. There was an older Subaru commercial where the dad, I can't even, like, I'll fall to pieces. His little girl is growing up, and he goes through the bringing her home from the hospital. Then she's broken her leg playing soccer. Yeah. Now she's going to prom. And the last part of the commercial is she's taking the Subaru off to college. That is a representation of a man as a partner and provider and father and all of the things you could aspire to be, right?
Great example. Yeah. Great example.
So the Subaru commercial that you're talking about, it does make me laugh. And I love the part of it where that's her world and he wants to be her world.
He's
completely unfamiliar with it and all. I can't believe it made it to the screen because I feel like the ad agency or the copywriters or whatever for Subaru, I feel like they really fumbled that ball.
Because of the ending? Because of the ending. Cow thing? Yeah.
See, here's another thing they could have done. They're driving through the West. A prairie dog, and he thinks it's a beaver. I would buy that. A city person doesn't know the difference between a prairie dog and a beaver necessarily, right?
That would have been a good call. Yeah.
An antelope and a deer. I would buy that all day long. It's just, you can't be born in the United States of America and go through our school system, public or private, and not be confronted at some point with a cartoon illustration of, say it with me, a cow.
A cow.
He's never eat Chick-fil-A. Come on.
Never seen a cow.
Chick-fil-A.
I sit down and read to my granddaughter. I can remember doing this about a month or so ago, and it was one of her new books, and it was all about a visit to the farm. And I pointed. Now, she is a year and three quarters. You know, she's not quite two. I say, and this was, she was a year and a half old. I said, what's this? A cow.
Exactly.
She's a year and a half. She's still going in her pants. And this guy can't tell that's not a.
One of my favorite children's books is For Actual Literal Babies by Sandra Boynton. It's called Moo, Ba, La, La, La. The first thing we teach our children is what a fucking cow is, Bob. I am so on your side with this. I have your back 100%.
Thank you. I figured you were going to. But it just worries me a little bit. It could be just the progression of time, how I think men, not all, but I think most men, and I think the men that are engaged in this show, have respect for women. You know, we don't have a problem with changing mores, but when you get to a certain point where it seems ridiculous, it just seems like overkill on the male gender.
The problem is like an advertisement like that, then it becomes the larger, and believe me, I've seen this about this commercial and social, the larger conversation becomes women just want to emasculate us. Excuse me, I'm a woman. I didn't write that commercial. I also think it's stupid. Who doesn't know what a cow is? Okay. Yeah, like,
right.
You don't, like, I'm over here going, I love the game commercial where the guy is like smelling his laundry and jumping up and down, and the Tide commercial with the superhero dad. Like, there's some really powerful messaging that happens in advertising. In some ways, the messaging we get in advertising shapes our beliefs more than the programming that the advertising interrupts. Right.
I'll tell you one commercial that if you just told somebody what it was, they would say that is so insulting to men. It's again, I think it's a Gain. It's one of the detergents or fabric softeners. And there's an African-American woman and she's in line and she starts to smell the Gain and she's just smelling. Oh, it smells so good. And the voiceover guy says, "Say hello to your fairy godmother," and she opens her eyes, and it's this guy who's stocking shelves, right? It's this non-sexy guy, and her eyes go, and it's just funny. It's just funny, even though he's the fairy godmother. It just works because she's so surprised.
Well, and it's because you know there's no such thing, right? And she's in the laundry product aisle at the supermarket, and she's so transported by the scent of Gain, whatever, that, you know, she fantasizes and this is the reality. It's very funny and I don't think anybody gets hurt on that one. It's insulting to you as men to have it be suggested that y'all could get to this point and not know what a cow is. But don't worry. There's so much activity afoot to ban contraception and whatnot. I'm sure you'll all be back in the catbird seat before too much longer.
It's good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, so I wouldn't sweat
it's
it.
It's good to know.
I wouldn't sweat it.
So all right. Way back.
Wait. I want to flip it, and I want to ask you all, since you're men, a question. Is there a commercial out there that you look at and it makes you feel like really good about men?
About men. Mm-hmm. The one with the car you were describing of the old car. I sort of like that.
I thought that was one of the most beautiful, like 30-second stories of fatherhood you could conjure. I really did.
Yeah. I can't think of another one off the top of my head.
No, and I love commercials. I mean, I never fast forward. I love commercials.
And you can't think of
up to a point.
You can't think of anything where you've looked at it and went, because I knew right off the top of my head, the Tide commercial, the Subaru commercial. I love those depictions of men. Those are fantasy men for me. Dream.
Most of the commercials I see these days are just people that have physical afflictions that I've never heard of, and they're kayaking and surfing.
Oh my God.
They're having so much more fun than I am.
Real quick, so there's a commercial for it's the little pill with a big story to tell. It's a diabetes medication.
Oh yeah,
it's on every 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's this lady and she's singing and dancing and she looks so happy. And every time I see the commercial, I'm like, "Who are you? I love you." And you got your big break on this commercial and you're loving life and I'm so happy for you and you're so pretty. It got my level of obsession with this woman. I Googled it. She is a not famous to us, but in the world of show business, she is a famous legendary vocal coach. And
oh,
she
is that
got
right?
cast. Yes. And she Jardians. Got cast in Jardians and she got cast in this commercial. And there's one point where the camera's following her around and she puts on this really pretty yellow dress and they're touching up her hair.
Oh, I know the spot. Yeah.
They're talking to her.
And the director gets thumbs up and the photographer says, "Oh, that was great." Everybody's celebrating this woman. Yeah.
And you can read her lips and she's like, "Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you." And so I'm reading about the real woman in this commercial who I'm like such a fan. And I thought, you know what? The people on that spot, the other singers and dancers, they knew who she was. They were thrilled to be working with her. The cast and crew, they knew who she was.
That's interesting.
And she carries, listen to me, you guys, listen. The next time, everybody listening to this, when you see this Jardians commercial, watch for what I'm about to say.
Why do you keep asking to listen? We're listening. We think we're sitting around.
No. Listen. You know how you are. Listen. I want you to watch for this one detail. That woman, from the opening note till the last wide zoom out shot, carries herself like a queen.
She does.
She is.
Yeah.
Let's listen.
Well,
she's so good.
It has to be said that she is not a tiny thing. I mean, that's why she's...
Why does that have to be said?
Because it's the truth.
But what does it have to do with any of what I just said?
Because ballerinas generally are very slight of... have a slight physique.
She's not playing a ballerina. They're just at some outdoor
in pharmaceutical land.
Everybody's always happy and riding roller coasters or doing roller boogie or going to festivals or eating ice cream.
I'd like her very much. But I am so sick of that ad. Whatever I'm watching, it's on every third ad. And I've got them figured out too, the people with that ad, in that specific ad. In the first run, she's you know, dancing with this guy and that guy. And who does she dance with? The postman. Right? Remember when she's going down the street and there's the postman and she starts dancing with the postman and he's a good little dancer. And then they do another version of it. And there that guy is again, except he's not the postman. He's selling vegetables and fruits. But I know it's the same guy.
It's there's a mythical, magical town that you can go to called Pharmatown. And in it, you can make a living running a shop that sells yarn but has no customers. And there's an ice cream place down the street that's spotless and you never have to wait in line. And then there's a town festival and my queen bursts into song. And it was just, I love her. I don't even know what A1C is, but I'm like, yes. You get your A1C lowered, and I love her, and I love that yellow dress.
It's really well produced. I mean, anybody watching it knows, you know, it's just, it's fantasy is what it comes down to. The colors, the perfect blue sky, everybody's so nice. But there's something about it. It's like an acid trip.
Oh, it's like the Stepford Wives. But just know the next time you watch her, you're looking at a legend that other legends bow before.
Really?
Who knew?
She's got a heck of a voice. Yeah.
Who freaking knew? And she's, I love her.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the chat room.
She's a good dancer, too. Yeah.
I'm going to go find out what my A1C is so that I can pay my queen even more respect the next time it comes on. I love you, Jardians. All right, the Bob and Sherry website is BOBANDSHERI. And I guess we just want to close by saying we hope we haven't offended anyone in the what the hell is a cow community. We just thought everybody knew. We'll see you next time on the Oddcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Oddcast, Talking Lamar and the Bob and Sherry podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.